Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Luke 22, we'll get there in just one moment together. Today's message, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion. Obviously, it's going to be a one-time message around communion today. It's a wonderful time to be able to do this. And we're going to celebrate today what this means. Today's message, if for those that are taking notes, like many of you do, as I encourage you, if you're at home, make sure you get something to write with and get your Bible and study with us today, as today's message is going to be entitled, Why the Two Elements? Why the Two Elements? In other words, why the two elements of communion, the bread and the wine? Amen. And so if you turn with me there in Luke 22 in verses 19 and 20, we'll read it together. And he took bread, this is Jesus, and he gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Notice in verse 19 again, if we put this back up in verse 19, it says, this is my body which is given for you. Do this do in remembrance of me. In other words, the memory of something is for the sole purpose of us not forgetting its significance. And how many know the devil is real good at getting us to forget the things we need to remember and remember the things that we're to forget? And so today, the scripture is letting us know Jesus has actually said, this do in remembrance of me. Amen. The Kenneth E. Weiss translation of verse 19, part of it says, this keep on doing in my memory. This is what Jesus said concerning receiving or partaking of the communion elements. So we don't forget, and the reason why is, so we don't forget what he did. So we don't forget the price that he paid. So that we don't forget why he did what he did and what it actually means for us. See, we can know all those things and really not connect the dots between what he did and what it means for us. Because it's through the personal application of the Word of God that actually changes our life. Can I get amen? And this is why he's saying, this keep on doing in my memory. The communion, I want us to understand this. The communion ritual itself, in other words, if you, so to speak, the communion ritual itself has no power to save or deliver us. But what the ritual stands for, the remembering of what Jesus did for us and its application in our life does. See, it's what we do with what we know that changes us. So if we just do this in a religious, ritualistic duty, then we receive nothing. But if we understand what it represents, amen, and what it means it did for us, and we apply it to our lives through our faith, then it has the power to change us. So the cup and the bread are representative and a point of contact for the individual to release his or her faith in the power of God. See, what we must understand is in the elements themselves, there is no merit, but their power is in the remembrance of what they represent. It's what they represent is what lies the power and our ability to understand that and connect that faith in that. Amen. The purpose of communion, therefore, and its elements or to bring our attention back on the Lord and what He died to provide us with. And this is why we must renew our mind on this fact on a continual basis, so that we understand and are excited and receive from it. This helps us to remember Jesus' death and reminds us that we cannot save or redeem ourselves. You know, the sooner that we realize that, the quicker we come to God. There is a reason the Savior was sent, because we had need of Him. We could not save ourselves from our sins. If we could, by through our own good works, through our own good merits, or any other way, then why send a Savior? But for the very fact that God knows that we were lost and we needed a Savior, God sent He sent His Son, but in sending His Son, He sent Himself, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three co-equal, co-eternal God, and all three have a part in our redemption. And so we must remember, hallelujah, that He came because we cannot save or redeem ourselves. Communion, therefore, teaches us both the major works of Jesus on the cross, the forgiveness of sin in salvation, and the healing of sickness, which are both part of redemption and are products of God's almightiness and His grace. We are to know and we are to remember that both salvation and healing are gifts that are given by God's grace. Now, when I say they're gifts given by God's grace, it is significant, because what we have to understand is they are both gifts, and they're given by grace. In other words, salvation and healing both are. What that means is they neither have to be deserved or earned. They just simply have to be received by faith. In other words, because they're by grace, grace is God's unmerited favor, His unearned favor. You neither deserve it or could earn it. So relax. Amen. There's no hoops to jump through. Amen. But there's something to believe in, what Christ has done, and applying it to our life. These things, because they're by God's grace, in other words, grace is God's power to give us what we could not give ourselves. How many know we couldn't save ourselves? How many know we can't heal ourselves? How many know we can't deliver ourselves? But God's grace is God's power active, giving us what we do not deserve or could not earn by His mighty power. And how we receive that is through our faith. Amen. Simply received by faith. Remember, you can write this down in Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we are saved by grace through faith. Both actually, grace and faith, are gifts. Grace is God's hand stretched out towards us with everything He has, every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven. Amen. And it also, in that, when we hear what God gives, that produces faith. So both grace and faith are gifts to us. And since grace provides the means of faith, then once we hear what God gives, faith is born in our heart, then that enables us to be able to receive what God freely gives. So God's grace is His hand extended towards us. Our faith is our hand extended back to God, receiving what grace freely gives. Grace gifts are all what God gives and wants for all mankind, which includes salvation and includes healing, which we're talking about today, and what these elements actually represent. So what we have to understand in receiving either salvation or receiving healing, we must understand no works are involved on our behalf, because it means that, because no works are involved, it means it's all by grace. Jesus did the work to save and heal us. Our part is to believe and receive it by faith. Amen. We got to get that straight.
Because in the world that we live in today, so many people are basing their faith on something other than God's grace, and therefore it's not true faith. They base it upon their good works. How many know that good works are right, but not by getting saved or not receiving anything from God? You don't receive from God by your good works. You receive from God, from His grace, and through your faith. Or you don't receive. See, so many times people I'll get upset and say, God, I don't understand why I'm not healed. Because I go to church, I give, I pray, I do good works. But see, the problem is those things aren't wrong. They're good works. But you need to receive salvation or healing by your good works. You must receive it all by faith. And people have this problem that they think they have to earn it in order to get it. But the good news is, I'm not talking about greasy grace. I'm talking about the true grace of God that extends what we cannot receive in of ourselves by our own merits. It's by God's goodness and His kindness. And if we're going to get what God gives, we can only get it by grace through faith. Not by works that we have done. It's by His grace. See, many times people are trying to earn it and say, well, I'm good, I'm this, I'm that. It's good that you're all those things, but that's not how you receive from God. I'm not saying we should discount doing the right thing. No, it's the reason why we should do the right thing is because we love God and want to obey God. We got to live in relationship with God. Listen, we got to live in relationship with God. That's why we want to please Him and honor Him and do those things. And the reason what we should is because of all those reasons. And then that produces confidence in our heart. Amen. But what happens is, if we're not careful, then we always have this sin consciousness going on. That and the devil's going to make you think this very thing, that you're not perfect and you got to be perfect to receive healing or to receive anything from God. No, you come as you are, and you know what God gives, and then you receive it that way. That doesn't mean you live any way that you do, the any way that you want to. No, we should live the way that God says we live, righteously and holy. That gives us confidence before God. And the reason why many people, once again, don't feel like they can receive because they just are sin conscious, and they think they have to do all these things in order to receive anything from God. But I want you to know doing the right thing is the right thing. But you're doing the right thing because you are helping. In other words, the reason you're reading and praying and studying and come to church, do you know you're not doing that for God? You're doing that for you. You're doing that to help you understand what God has given so you can receive it. That's why you're doing it. Not so that you feel perfect, so that God automatically gives you because you've earned it somehow. See, we got it all wrong. We get from God by grace through faith. And once again, that doesn't give us the justification to live any way we want. But God wants us to understand that it's not our works that we receive from Him by. It's by grace through faith. And that's wonderful. So that means today, no matter who we are or where we're at, if we can understand what God's given by His grace, then we can receive it by our faith. Because whatever God gives by His grace produces faith in our heart for us to receive by faith what He's given by His grace. Amen. And so, Jesus did the work, I'm going to say it again, to save and heal us. Our part is to believe and receive by faith. This also means we are no longer, listen, this is a good one, we're no longer waiting on God to heal us any more than we're waiting on God to save us. I'm going to say it again. We're no longer waiting on, listen, we're no longer waiting on God to heal us any more than we are waiting on God to save us. The truth is, God is waiting on us to receive what Jesus' death has provided for us. And this is what communion teaches and reminds us of. It's not a hoping and a waiting on God, but a believing and a receiving from God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, so many people are just waiting on God to heal them. But you know, many of you in this room, most of you in this room today are saved, even watching online are possibly saved. You didn't wait on God to save you. If you waited on God to save you, if you said this, well, I'm just waiting on God to save me, you would wait a long time. Because that's not how it works. God's done the work. He sent His Son, His work on the cross provided the means for us to be saved. And since He's made the move and His Son did the work, what the work on the cross provided the means which we can be saved, what we have to do is receive or put our faith in the work that Christ did in order to be saved. That's why we have to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that God raised Him from the dead. We shall be saved. In other words, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not waiting on God to save us. As far as God's concerned, He's already provided the means by which we can be saved. He told us how to be saved. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us to receive His Son, to come to His Son. But the same is true when it comes to healing. So many people are waiting for God to heal them, waiting for that manifestation, waiting for God to heal them. But God, again, has provided the means through the cross of Calvary. And what Jesus did, this is what we're talking about. Why the two elements? So we're no longer, it is just as wrong to wait for God to heal you as it is for God, wait for God to save you. It don't work that way. We must know that God has already done and provided what it takes for us to be healed. It is our job, once we know what He's provided, to receive our healing. So we're not waiting on God to save us or heal us. God is waiting on us to receive salvation or to receive healing as well. Can I get amen? Now that's the truth. Now that may be a hard pill for some to swallow because that goes against tradition, that goes against religion. But we need to shake the cage of religion up and pour out truth, amen, that sets the captives free and lets people know how to receive from God. Because you'll be waiting for all eternity if you don't understand. In other words, you'll be dead in hell waiting for Christ to save you. No, He's done all He's going to do to save you. What do you mean He's done all you? He sent His Son. He died. He shed His blood. He provided the means. Now He says, receive Him as Savior and be saved. That's how you do it. So the same way is true. He's took those stripes on His back. By His stripes we are healed. You're not waiting to be healed. Receive what the stripes have done, not waiting to be healed. Say, I receive what the stripes have done. I receive my healing. And likewise, you can be healed. See, this is the power of remembrance. And as believers, we are called to know and trust Jesus. Listen, Jesus is not only Savior, but also healer. From this day forward, we should write it in our Bible or write it somewhere and go over it daily. As believers, we're called to know and trust Jesus as both Savior and healer. There's so many people are trusting Jesus as Savior. You couldn't talk them out of their salvation, but they're still believing one day they'll be healed. It don't work that way. You got to trust that just like Jesus is Savior now, He's healer now. That's how you get healed. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen today. Hope you don't mind me getting a little excited, but it works. It's exciting to know. So notice the two elements in a moment as when we receive communion, you'll have a little cup. It'll have a piece of bread in it representing His body, and it'll have a cup with juice in it representing His blood. Amen. Notice two elements. And today's message is explaining why the two elements. Each element in communion represents a different part of our redemption. I'm going to say that again. This is so important. We must get it. Each element in communion, the bread and the juice, Each element in communion represents a different part of our redemption. The cup speaks of the shed blood or the shedding of Jesus' blood. The bread speaks of His broken body. Notice both were given for us. The cup signifies salvation from sins. The bread speaks of divine healing for our bodies. That's what Jesus taught. This is what the Word of God teaches, and this is what redemption is about. Both the inward man, the spirit and soul, and the outward man, the physical body, were covered through Jesus' work on the cross. And that's what redemption is about. And it's why there are two elements. Because God did something to take care of everything on the inward man and everything on the outward man. Our salvation came through the shed blood of Jesus. And our physical healing came through the broken body of Jesus. Redemption for the inward man is the forgiveness of sins and salvation. And redemption for the outward man is healing for our bodies. Redemption, therefore, is twofold. Everybody say twofold. See, that's the reason why the two elements. Redemption is, therefore, twofold. And is inseparably united as our inward and outward man. And so is the forgiveness of sins and the healing of as diseases as proved in many scriptures, including Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. Notice in verse 2 and 3 of Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. There's a reason to bless Him. In other words, the word bless, listen, when we bless God, listen, let's get this straight. When we bless God, we have to adore Him through words and through actions. But when God blesses man, He does it through the conference of active benefits. Amen. So we bless Him through our conference of words and praise and thanksgiving and actions like this. He blesses us through the conveyance of and the conference of active benefits, two of which, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is why we bless Him. This is why we magnify Him. This is why we're praising Him. This is why we dance. This is why we can run. This is why we can shout. This is why I got a big mouth. This is why I'm loud. This is why I'm preaching. This is why I'm talking about Him. And the devil don't like it, and sometimes people don't, because it shakes up religion. But I want you to get what God has done for you who forgive and forget not all His benefits. Now here's two of His benefits right here. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Woo! Who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And remember, I told you a little while ago, the devil is real good at getting you to forget all that you're to remember. This is why we do this on a regular basis, to get you to remember what the devil's trying to get you to forget about what Jesus did. But He's also good at getting you to remember what you're to forget. What are you to forget? All your sins, all the things you've asked Him to forgive you for. If it's under the blood, if you've asked Him to forgive you for it, then it's under the blood. You're not to remember it anymore. If it comes back up, then it must be the devil or some unbelieving person or something in the unrenewed part of your mind. But you just have to cast that down and resist it. See, remember, your mind stays no more renewed than your hair stays combed. Renewing of your mind is a continual change or exchanging your way of thinking for God's way of thinking. This is why we must know this book. This is why I fell in love with this book in 1986 when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And He took a person that didn't like to read at all, didn't like to study at all. The only thing that I like to read is anything about hunting and fishing. That's all I like to read about. And I might have read an owner's manual on a gun or something, you know what I'm saying, something important, you know what I'm saying, to know how to use it correctly. Amen. But apart from that, I didn't like to read, didn't like to do anything like that. But you know what? The moment I found out that this book was full of the benefits of God, oh my God. This was the reading of the will. This is why not only you couldn't keep me out of church to hear the reading of the will, but you couldn't keep me out of this book, because I found out that this was loaded with benefits. 66 books of benefits of what God has provided for me through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Through type, shadow, and reality. Yeah. Through my faith. Who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Well, you say, well, if he does this, then why don't I got it? Number one is because you got to receive it. You got to know it first, and you got to believe it and receive it. Amen. See, and forgiveness ain't a feeling. It's a choice and a receiving. See, a lot of times people, they're still asking God to forgive them about things they did 10 years ago. And that's about the 1,000th time they asked them. Because the thought comes back to their mind and say, God, you know I didn't like that. God knows you didn't like it. He didn't like it either. But he don't like you asking him 500 times something that it takes one time just to receive and put it behind you. Believe in the blood. Believe the blood is greater. Believe God's forgiveness is greater. And stop allowing the devil to condemn you, because that robs your faith. Receive it, believe it, and then stand against it and say, no, I choose to believe God. I am a believer, not a doubter. Get out of here, devil. The blood be against you, and the blood has forgiven me and pardoned me and cleansed me from that. That no longer exists in the mind or the economy of God, and God appreciates us not bringing it back up. But so is the true with who heals all our diseases. Why isn't everybody? Because it's not because God didn't do the work. It's that the part of us receiving has been left undone. And many times people have made a gracious attempt to receive healing, but because they are living by feelings, the healing has never come to pass. Because you cannot constantly live by feelings and receive your healing. You got to believe. Amen. And it means you're going to have to separate your feelings from your believing. And if you do that, then your believing will change what you're feeling. Praise God. But it must be received by faith. Listen, if God's big enough to save you, don't you think he's big enough to heal you? Come on. Come on. God is good. We could spend the rest of this service just having healing testimonies of people that have been healed by the power of God. And so today, I'm letting us know who forgives. Here it is, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. This is why you'll never find the communion elements, listen, separate, but always together. For salvation and healing are both part of redemption. You don't just do one or the other. You do both. It's why they're always together, because salvation and healing are both part of redemption. And faith is the means of receiving both salvation and divine healing. Faith receives the forgiveness of God and the healing power accomplished for us on the cross. That's why we drink the cup and eat the bread. Listen, eating and drinking are both types of faith in the Word of God or in Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. I'll say it again. Eating and drinking, this is why we're to do it as believers. It is both types of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are remembering correctly. In other words, the reason we're doing it, because if we're doing it correctly, we are remembering through, it's that faith. We're saying what the bread did and the blood did, we applying it to our life. That's what taking it means. And this is why it's for the believer. I said, this is why it's for the believer. Both are types of faith in the Word of God or Jesus Christ, if we are remembering correctly. Faith is always compared to something anyone can do. Say, anyone. Come on, faith is a law. A law means constant, unchanging. A law like gravity is true whether it's in America, or whether it's in Africa, wherever it's at. It's constant. It's steadfast. There's spiritual laws and natural laws. Natural law like gravity works here or wherever. But how many know there's spiritual laws? Spiritual law called faith, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Write it down. It means that whosoever, wheresoever, if they will believe, they can have. Whosoever can have whatsoever God said if they truly believe it. Woo, glory to God. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen today. So as faith is always compared to something anyone can do. Anyone. How many anyones we got in here today? You're anyone. Faith is always compared to something anyone can do, because salvation, healing, listen, and any of the gifts God gives are for whosoever wills. Whosoever. Therefore, whosoever. Any gift that God gives is for whosoever wills. You just gotta know that. And that all immediately produces faith. Now let me give you an example. I'm not trying to trick you in here today. I'm trying to teach you something. Can I get an amen in here? If I said, I have $20 that I'm going to give to someone sometime today, could you have faith that I'm giving it to you? Okay? So I said this. If I said I have $20 that I'm going to give to somebody, someone, sometime today, you actually couldn't have faith that I give it to you. You could only have a hope or a wish. Because I said to somebody, I didn't say to you. Now, I didn't do that to trick us. I'm getting us to think correctly. I said somebody. Now, I know that you could include yourself as somebody, but how you know that you to somebody I wanted to give the $20 to? Just because I said I got $20 I'm going to give somebody today, you can believe all you want for it, but it's really called wishing and hoping. Because you can't have faith beyond actual knowledge that I'm going to give it to you. It's a wishing and a prayer. It's kind of like the lottery or the raffle ticket. You know, I know I'm claiming it. I'm getting that. You know what? Well, it's good to claim it, but you're wishing and hoping, because there's a lot of other people that are claiming. But see, you have no grounds of biblical faith for that. Yeah, listen, you have no grounds of biblical faith for that. Because it's for somebody, somebody is going to be. And I agree that it should just as well be you as anybody else. But that ain't up to you. And it ain't up to God. It's a raffle. Or in this case, it's my choice who I'm going to give it to. However, okay, so you understand what I'm saying. However, if I said I have $20 to give to anyone who would just come and receive it, could you have faith for it? The answer is yes. You just come and take it, bless God. You just come and take it. My question is, why didn't somebody from the back run? Bless God. Hallelujah. He said, well, I didn't want to knock down Miss Janet. That's good. But praise the Lord. No, I said, listen, the reason that you have faith or she had faith, because I qualified it. I said, I've got $20 for anybody who will come and just take it. Then you could have faith for that, because I said for anybody. Now, I got good news for us. God says anybody. Isaiah 45:22. Come on, Brother Ryan. You just come right down and help me. Don't disconnect. Listen to me. Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Woo! All the ends of the earth. Everybody say all. Wouldn't that include you? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Today, before we move forward and before we receive communion, I want to talk about the most important thing that salvation, not the only thing, but the most important or the first step that redemption is provided. And that is through the shedding of Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and the salvation of our souls. It's provided for that. Now you can know that today. This is not a hope so anymore. This is not a maybe so anymore. This is not even, well, one day that may be, I have to earn it. Maybe my past is too dark. All those things you're going to come to God by. You come to God by what He's done, not by what you've done. We could never do enough, so forget it. We could never do enough to earn a salvation, to be right with God. But what we're called to do is come because of what He's done. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I believe there's people that could be in here today that have waited all their life to be saved. And they could be like that man that stood over that dumpster that I led to the Lord that day. And when I asked him, I said, "Sir, has anybody ever asked you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And would you like to make him the Lord of your life?" He looked up at me and tears streaming down his face. I know this is a short side of that story. Tears streaming down his face. And he pointed at me and he said, "That is what I've been looking for all my life." And that day, we grabbed hands. I led him in the sinner's prayer to make Jesus the Lord of his life, because he found out that God sent his son to save the whole world. That included him. And he understood that moment. He didn't have to earn it. He couldn't earn it. He had to be good enough for it. He couldn't be good enough for it. There was nothing he could do except fall on the grace and the mercy of God and do what he's supposed to do and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's the point that I'm asking you today. You may be in here today and you've wanted to be saved. You wish you could have been saved. You might even thought you could have been or was, like I did, going to church for 24 years of my life, growing up in church, and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things, thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child, thought because I'd asked God to forgive me and prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But I found out at the age of 24 on March the 30th, 1986, that I had come to God my way. I had created my own version of God. And even though I believed in God and believed in His Son Jesus Christ, I had never done what God said to do with His Son. I had never received Him into my heart, repented of my sins, and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. But that day I did, and it changed everything. And I'm a living testimony today that for 39 years, that I know that I've been saved. Not hope so, not maybe so. I was there the day I asked Him in my heart, and He changed me. I know the difference between before and after playing it and then actually doing it, actually putting faith in a risen Savior. And that's what I'm asking you today. And many times we just don't do it because, number one, we either don't know how. That's why this church exists, so you can know how. We'll pray with you. Number two, many people just feel they're so unworthy. Well, that's the point. We all are unworthy. That shouldn't point us away from God. That points us to the grace of God and knowing it's the goodness and kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It turns us to God and realize what He's done for us, that He'll forgive us and save us. That's why His blood was poured out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians praying.